nationally recognized speaker, facilitator, and author Steve Klein sits down with the most fascinating difference makers in Dallas-Fort Worth. Hear from top CEOs, local entrepreneurs, and key playmakers in business right now with your host, Steve Klein.
Goethe said, "Knowing is not enough, we must apply. Willing is not enough, we must do." Hi, I'm Steve Klein, and welcome to Playmakers Talk Show. In the studio today are two guests who apply and do. Our first playmaker is co-owner of two iconic Texas restaurant brands that are both over 20 years old, while our second playmaker developed successful restaurant franchise concepts but started as a civil engineer. With us today is a president and CFO who, with his partner, are bringing both of their restaurant brands back to their Texas roots. Well, our next playmaker is a CEO and founder of a cafe powered by a chocolate chip. These great playmakers are Tim Dungan. Tim is president and CFO of Daystar Restaurant Group that owns Texas Land and Cattle and Lone Star Steakhouse. And Ziad Dalal. Ziad is CEO and founder of Nestle Toll House Cafe by Chip. And we're going to begin today's show with Ziad. Ziad Dalal is a founding partner and CEO of the Richardson-based Nestle Toll House Cafe by Chip, a Crest Foods company. Nestle Toll House Cafe by Chip is a premier dessert and bakery cafe, offering customers an unrivaled experience through the use of the ingredients, indulgent creations, distinct flavor profiles, and the rich tradition of the very best Nestle brands. My mouth is watering already. Ziad also founded Frulatte Cafe and Bakery, which has helped him develop an uncompromised vision and successful background owning franchise concepts since 1985. Ziad's primary focus is franchise strategy and development. Crest Foods currently franchises more than 130 bakery cafes in the United States, Canada, and the Middle East. Ziad, welcome to Playmakers Talk Show.
Thank you, Steve. Thank you.
Well, you have a background as a master's in civil engineering. You were also a real estate developer, and you've become a successful restaurant franchisor. How did civil engineering fit in with all that?
Accidents. Honestly, it's an accident. I was a civil engineer. I started in the real estate developer, and things were going good until the crash of 87, where everything went down, and I lost a lot and had to wind down the real estate business, and ended up in 85. I started as a hobby, Frulatte Cafe and Bakery. Never been in the restaurant business before.
So it was just a hobby to begin with?
Just, I was in college, did finish my master's in business, and I thought it would be great to have a healthy fast food. So we started Frulatte Cafe and Bakery just as a hobby, and I was doing the real estate development. And, you know, it was a tough learning experience, the food business. I didn't know what I was doing, period.
You learn from your mistakes.
We were making great sandwiches, big sandwiches, lined up of customers, but we're not making money because we didn't know how to do food costs. We didn't know how to portion control. We didn't know consistency. So things were going good, but we're not making money. But it was okay. Slowly we learned how to adjust and made money, and did a lot of mistakes.
Well, Frulatte was your first venture. How did you get the idea of partnering with Nestle to develop your new concept?
We grew Frulatte till about 100 stores, and in 1998, one of the real estate developers that we had a Frulatte there in Penn Square Mall, Oklahoma City.
That's where it all started back in 86, 87.
Oh, well, it was in 1998. And that's after we had 100 stores of Frulatte. And the developer asked us to open a cookie place at the corner of the food court. Impulse location.
So it was simply a question that someone asked you, just open up that cookie place.
Yes, sir. And we didn't know much about the cookies, and we didn't want to do it, but he said yes, and he believed in what we were doing. We were executing very well. So we opened a Mrs. Fields store. We didn't know anything about the cookie place. So accidents happen. Opened a location there. And shortly thereafter, we asked Mrs. Fields to if we can franchise in the DFW airport because we had Frullatis there. And they denied us that opportunity. So we thought, you know, if you want to be in the cookie business, who else could have a great brand besides Nestle Toll House? We went and approached Nestle. The beginning was dialing an 800 number on the back of the morsel bag to go to the find the right party. And it was a tough sell, great company. We were very blessed, very fortunate that they listened to us. They allowed us the opportunity to open the first cafe. It was just in the beginning thought about cookies. And we opened it, the first cafe, in August of 2000 in Frisco, Texas, Stonebriar Mall. And that's where the journey all began.
And the rest is history. Well, it's interesting how when you're focused on an idea, you make it happen, even though you had a lot of obstacles in your way in dealing with Nestle early on. But you obviously took care of all those.
Well, the obstacles were a lot. Nestle has been a great partner. They've been very good to us. We're very fortunate. But they're all about quality. So making sure to execute to the quality of Nestle is very important. And also keeping the brand, polishing the brand, the brand, the brand, the brand. So we have that challenge, which we're very fortunate. We have great franchise partners that have adopted that. A new concept, you know, having to tweak it, to execute it, having the buy-in of your own teammates.
Well, I can see how Nestle's, which is a Swiss company, is probably very similar to the Germans. They're so focused on quality, and they want to make sure that is absolutely there. So I'm sure that was a big discussion you had with them until they finally agreed to say yes to you opening up these cafes.
Absolutely. And it's still till today. They are always looking at us from quality, from execution. So in the beginning, you know, we were all about cookies. We started the cookie journey, and slowly we're like, you know, we need to complement the concept. So we incorporated coffee. So now we have a bakery, and it's not only cookie. We have a full display case of dessert item baked fresh on the premises.
Matter of fact, that's what I want to do. I want to ask you about the product, but even before that, let's go back a little farther. We were talking about this a little before the show started. A woman by the name of Ruth Wakefield is actually responsible for all of this. She had a restaurant called the Toll House Restaurant in Massachusetts. So tell us a little bit of the story about how the actual Toll House chip actually became a reality.
Well, that was a little bit over 75 years ago. We are celebrating this year their 75th anniversary. About 76 years ago, this lady, Ruth Wakefield, you know, at the Toll House, which is a place where people used to stop and eat, was doing biscuits, and she was breaking a chocolate bar accidentally into these biscuits. And the chocolate did not melt. It just became like a chips inside. They were drizzling, but that's accidentally she discovered the chocolate chip, and people liked it. So she kept doing it and increased and grew up, and then published the recipe. And Nestle, you know, bought into it, as Nestle always does, tries to buy great things, and took the brand as we know it today. But it took years and years, and it's all about the quality. That chocolate chip is second to none from a product quality, and also when you combine it with making our chocolate chip, which is a Nestle made item that we are very blessed to have.
And just so you can have your mouth salivating too before you go to the Nestle Toll House Cafe by Chip, you can go to nestlecafe.com to find out more about it. Well, I interrupted you a few moments ago, Ziad, about the different products you have, and these are also can be shipped around to anybody you want to ship it to. So tell us more about some of those products that are actually on the premises, because you can order, you can eat on the premises, but you can also ship it too.
Yeah, we have you know, it's a full bakery, dessert bakery. We have cookies, we have brownies, we have bars, we have macarons, we have cookie cups, we have you know, cupcakes. We have a whole variety of desserts that you can order online. You can have them. You can pick them up. We have a big item. A big item is cookie cakes, which is customized to you in different occasions. So people can order it online. We have the app. We have the online ordering.
In fact, I'm going to ask you about that in a moment, but tell our listeners where you're located here in the DFW area.
We have 8 locations in the DFW area. We are in the Dallas area. We have 2 of them in the Dallas area. We are in Frisco in Stonebriar Mall. We are in Highland Village. We are in Garland Firewheel Shopping Center. We're in Collin Creek Mall. We're in Allen Event Center. So we are for Town East Mall, our latest opening. We just opened a couple months ago there with our improved looks. Every time we open a cafe, we try to take it another step from execution of the material we use under construction to the digital display to the POP.
Well, you added something else new in the in your restaurant in Mesquite, your mobile application. Tell us a little bit how they can order and what they can do when they go to your new locations.
You go to the Nestle Toll House app. You can download the app. It's an app on Apple or it's on Google. You download it and you have information about our menu. You do customer service, and there's an online ordering where you can download it on the app. So we made it easy for the customer to order. You can do it on our website, but we also have the app. As you know, today you have to be mobile. Everybody is carrying the device, so it's important information. Customer comments is also on the app. So we take the positive comments to learn from them, and we take the negative comments to learn from them. So we're very focused on our customers and what they want, what they like.
And you can get this, again, on iTunes or Google, and you can download that so you can order. And, again, where can customers go to find out all about Nestle Toll House Cafe by Chip? What is your website?
NestleCafe.com. You can go to that website, and you can find a lot about us. You can find about our products, about execution. You can order online. You can find about also franchising opportunities where franchisees also find us there and they can apply to own one of these. So we're growth has been great. It's been a great year for us. This is one of our best years.
And more to go even from there.
And next year is even looking better. We already have quite a bit of lineup for cafes, both domestically and internationally. We're focused a lot more domestically, but we have also international growth. But our bread and butter is America. This is America's favorite chocolate chip.
Located in Richardson, Texas. Well, Ziad, thank you very much for being a part of Playmakers Talk Show.
Thank you. Thank you, Steve.
Ziad Dalal, he is CEO and founder of Nestle Toll House Cafe by Chip with 8 locations here in the DFW area. And again, you can go to NestleCafe.com to find out where those locations are. Don't go away. We have another guest, and we're going to talk steak when we come back right after this.
Join the Girl Scouts of Northeast Texas for their 2014 Women of Distinction Luncheon presented by AT&T on November 19th. The Women of Distinction Luncheon recognizes outstanding women leaders and Girl Scouts for their contributions to the community. This year, the 2014 Lifetime Honoree is Jean Jones, and the 2014 Women of Distinction Honoree is Nancy Ann Hunt. Luncheon proceeds allow Girl Scouts of Northeast Texas to provide the Girl Scout leadership experience and support various Girl Scout activities and programs to more than 30,000 girls throughout Northeast Texas. To purchase tickets, visit www.gsnetx.org/WDL.
Cybersecurity is all over the news. Playmakers Talk Show and 770 KAAM listeners are invited to join former Secretary of Defense Gordon England, Lieutenant General Harry Radigy, and nine of our nation's top cybersecurity leaders at the 14th Annual State of Technology Summit on November 11th. This Dallas Regional Chamber Luncheon is co-hosted by the America's Future Series at the Sheraton Dallas Hotel. Our listeners receive special 50% discounted pricing and should register at the member rate. Please visit www.dallaschamber.org/events for more information.
And welcome back to Playmakers Talk Show. I think you're going to be in store for a great segment because we're going to talk about Texas restaurants. We're going to talk to Tim Dungan. Tim co-owns Daystar Restaurant Group and is president and CFO of both Texas Land and Cattle and Lone Star Steakhouse restaurant chains. He and his partner Scott Smith acquired the two steak brands last December. Daystar is in the second year of a three-year strategic plan designed to refresh the brands, reestablish category leadership, and bring the brands back to their Texas roots. The ownership team is also the leadership team, so there is a 100% commitment to success of both of those brands. Now, Texas Land and Cattle offers premium dining quality and service at casual dining prices and owns and operates 26 restaurants in Texas, Arkansas, Missouri, New Mexico, and North Carolina. The Lone Star Steakhouse chain is America's trusted brand for quality Texas-style dining delivered with a Texas-sized value and operates 74 restaurants in 29 states. Well, Tim, welcome to Playmakers Talk Show.
Appreciate it. Thanks, Steve.
Well, you and your partner are in the process, as I mentioned before, of changing all this. You're in the second year of a three-year plan. You're also doing working on a complete 180 on two iconic Texas restaurant brands, and that's a tall order. What about your background gives you the ability to really make these changes?
Well, I think both of us, first of all, have over 25 years experience in the hospitality industry in various levels of responsibility. I think that in itself and the fact that we're day-to-day, for sure. In terms of the two iconic brands that we're trying to do a 180 on, Texas Land and Cattle for us was kind of, they were trying to, actually when we, before we bought them, we found out that, you know, we kind of noticed that the both brands had almost kind of become one and the same. And they really weren't when they were originally created. They weren't the same. And so what we're trying to do is go back to the roots. We're trying to go back to different Texas types of cuisine and flavor for Texas Land and Cattle, and then really kind of a fun, kind of a, you know, a good price point experience on the Lone Star side. But definitely two distinctly different brands.
Now, Lone Star is a lot larger in terms of number of locations than Texas
correct.
Land and Cattle, a lot
yep.
more areas. And it's also older, too. Correct me if I'm wrong, but it started on the East Coast.
That's correct.
Back about 1989, Texas Land and Cattle 1993.
Correct.
But you and Scott were actually working with the company that owned both those restaurants.
That's correct.
Prior
to
purchasing
them. Yes, we both were brought on board to assist in the turnaround of both the brands.
How did it end up that you and Scott actually purchased it or developed Daystar to really incorporate that together?
I think over the course of the first 6 to 8 months that we were involved in the both brands, in a turnaround plan, we kind of come up with the idea that, you know, maybe there was something here that we could add over time. And we were committed to a three-year plan. And the group that we were working for and with probably didn't have that type of time frame in mind. And so, but we still did. We felt that what we saw was a three-year plan. It wasn't a nine-month plan. It wasn't a quick turn to sell. It was a three-month plan to really turn things around from where they really were. So, you know, we started working on a plan to enable us to acquire both brands so we could continue to execute on that three-year plan and see it through.
So obviously you and your partner saw a tremendous amount of potential in both restaurant brands.
Absolutely. Both of them, for sure.
Well, to go to those, again, you can go to the website, which is texaslandandcattle.com and lonestarsteakhouse.com. Now, over the first decade of the 21st century, both restaurants were basically failing. Both were at different times close to going into bankruptcy. So you really are doing a 180 on both of these brands. So talk a little bit about the difference now between Texas Land and Cattle and Lone Star Steakhouse? How are you going to begin to differentiate those to the consumer?
Well, Texas Land and Cattle, like I said before, we're going to really focus on Texas types of cooking and cuisine. We are going to source where it's possible a majority of products from Texas. I think locally, we try to keep at least 60 plus items on the on our menu that are really sourced directly from Texas. We have a new craft beer program that we're going to be local craft beer is going to be on our tap heads, and we're in bottles, and we're going to focus on that. We definitely are partnering up with Hartley Ranch out of Stephenville, Texas, to provide our beef needs for us for Texas Land and Cattle. So we're really trying to stay true to Texas and different types of styles of cooking. You know, not just steak centric. We are trying to do fish, seafood, as well as Tex-Mex, incorporating that into that as well. And so I think we'll see that evolve as time goes on from where it is now.
Well, from looking at the website, you have a number of great items. You mentioned your genuine black Angus beef from Stephenville. You have the sticky toffee pudding from Austin. Brenham will have your Bluebell ice cream. You also have the Texas beverages from a number of cities, both alcoholic and non-alcoholic, and you mentioned your craft beers. So going in there is going to take probably a half an hour to decide what you want to order.
It may, and I that's good. That's great. But I will say that is the focus of that brand is really kind of to stay true to its tracks, get back to its Texas roots, and provide quality, fresh product, for everybody to come in and enjoy and just really kind of feel that Texas. Now, I will say this, too, is that I think, for us to be successful, we have to, execute operationally. And we have to also provide the great food that we're providing. And we also have to provide a great atmosphere. And I think, the three-year plan is to work on all three of those phases of our restaurant. And, the atmosphere still needs to, we need to work on the atmosphere as well. I mean, they're a little bit older. And while we still care about them the way they are, we eventually see adding a little bit of love back into those restaurants as well.
Obviously, you need to keep refreshing all the time.
Correct, you have to.
Well, that's Texas Land and Cattle Company. How about Lone Star Steakhouse?
Lone Star, it's interesting. I think when I first started with the company, and we're approximately at a two-year point here, Lone Star to me was, I didn't know where it was really in terms of a brand. I'll be upfront and honest about it. And, over time, I have found that there is a passion in secondary and tertiary markets where a lot of those restaurants are. There is a great following from a lot of guests, and that is their favorite place to dine. And I've come probably 360 degrees on where my head is at in terms of long-term viability and where we're going to go with that particular brand. But it's definitely a different price point. It introduces a little bit of a more affordable, probably, structure in terms of the menu. I mean, landing cattle is typically, $18 to $21 per person average. And
Isn't too bad.
Which isn't too bad at all, actually. It's extremely affordable when you look at all the competition out there. And then, Lone Star is going to be, because they are also steak-centric, they're around, $16 to $18 in terms of a check average. We've got some good discount programs at Lone Star, including our watering hole and stuff like that, where you can get $1.99 drafts and margaritas.
I'm looking at the website right now for Lone Star Steakhouse, and there's a three-course meal starting at $11.99.
Yeah, right. So we're trying to appeal to probably a full group of demographic to try to bring in there, but they're too distinctly different. I mean, it's a The look and feel of a majority of the Lone Stars is a saloon, and we actually kind of want to go back to, hey, this is just a saloon. You have a nice, fun place, but you can experience a great Texas meal and great Texas hospitality within that saloon. So, again, it's a different atmosphere, but also a fun atmosphere and also still kind of, expressing that Texas feeling that we want to express in all both brands.
Well, it seems like Lone Star Steakhouse is more of a national brand as compared to Texas Land and Cattle. You're in a lot more cities. You're larger. You have a lot more locations. We mentioned before the show started, when I do a lot of traveling, when I go with people, everyone who wants to go to a Texas steak restaurant. Texas has a little panache. They want to go there. So I can see why having that price point really gets a lot more people into your locations.
It does, and like a lot more people to come into my restaurants as well. But, Texas resonates all over the place. I mean, it resonates internationally. I mean, my first 6 months, in this role. We were contacted by several parties just for international expansion, just because Texas has a it resonates beyond the borders of the U.S. or whatever. It goes everywhere. And so there is an interest in that type of thing.
Which goes along with my next question. What has a consumer's reaction been to the changes you've implemented so far in your second year of your plan?
Well, I will say that, you know, we experimented quite a bit with land and cattle over the last year, 15 months or so. And we took the guest feedback, we made some adjustments. I mean, I think we first started off with a different menu layout, thinking that might be the direction to go. And we got a lot of feedback back from that, you know, good, bad, or, you know, indifferent. We took that and we went back to the drawing board and kind of came back with something we really feel, and we've gotten from the feedback that we've gotten, looks to see be where we need to be in terms of our merchandising for land and cattle. And that's the same thing with Lone Star. You know, we're testing currently right now a kind of a modified, funner looking menu at 14 locations on the Lone Star side, and we've been testing that now for about a year. And, we're still determining where we want to go next with that. But, I mean, that's gotten good reviews. And, and we've cleaned up the older generational menu on a lot of the other locations, too, to make it a better, fresher feel.
So, in other words, if consumers haven't been to either of your restaurants over the last year or two, they should go back to see the changes and experience some of the new food.
Absolutely. Land and Cattle has dramatically changed. I mean, it's changed from, you know, offering certain things at, you know, certain margins to a much more fresher product, for sure. I mean, we are now a fresher steak product versus a frozen product, and that's one thing that we're adamant about changing and making sure that the consumer was able to get a fresher steak. And the same thing goes with Lone Star as well. You know, we changed the quality of beef that we were serving there. We've changed the quality of a lot of the ingredients that were there before. And, you know, we want everybody to have good quality food. And like I said before, you know, those are the three things that we're very, very focused on is great quality of food, you know, execution and excellent execution and in the atmosphere.
Well, about the last minute or so before we wrap up, how about growth? Now, you're working on changing your restaurants, you're putting a little money into it, you're changing the menu, but what about growth for both chains?
Land and Cattle, it would not surprise me in the course of the next 24 months if we find, if you see a new Land and Cattle open somewhere in the U.S. We're very, very committed to a growth plan. We feel like it resonates all over the United States. We also feel that we can backfill into a few certain markets here in Texas as well. Lone Star, interestingly enough, there hasn't been a Lone Star ever in the state of Texas.
Amazing,
yeah.
With a name like that.
Right, right. And so as I've gone around and I've traveled around and I've gotten the feedback back from the consumer that is one place that I would see maybe a Lone Star, you know, we expanding is putting a Lone Star in Texas and seeing how that goes here as well, because that could turn into other opportunities as well, like franchising, those kinds of things.
And I'm sure people would love to go to a Lone Star steakhouse here in the, if nothing else, the Metroplex area. So it's LoneStarSteakhouse.com, and it's also TexasLandAndCattle.com to check out, because I believe you have 9 locations in the DFW Metroplex.
That is correct.
Well, Tim, thank you very much for being a part of Playmakers Talk Show.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Tim Dungan co-owns Daystar Restaurant Group and is president and CFO of both Texas Land and Cattle and Lone Star Steakhouse chains. Thank you very much for being a part of Playmakers Talk Show. Please check our website, PlaymakersTalkShow.com, to check the past guests and the current guests we have and the upcoming guests we're going to have on Playmakers Talk Show. It's PlaymakersTalkShow.com. I'm Steve Klein. We're going to be back again next week.
Who will Steve be interviewing next? Find out on Playmakers Talk Show with Steve Klein every Friday afternoon at 3 on 770 KAAM. Hear this interview again by going to Steve's website, PlaymakersTalkShow.com.